What have you observed in terms of just side effects to AIs like anastrozole compared to tamoxifen in postmenopausal women?
Muscle pains, joint pains, myalgias, arthralgias, absolutely number one across the board. I can't say that I've seen it more with anastrozole than with letrozole or exemestane. I have tried in patients who seem to be very bothered by them. Usually I recommend an anti-inflammatory if they're a candidate for that, or just plain Tylenol. For the most part, I would say 90% of patients just deal with them. They have aches and pains to begin with. It just becomes part of their everyday life. But for those patients who it really becomes a problem, I have tried switching them to a different AI to see if it would make an improvement, perhaps from a non-steroidal to a steroidal. In some cases it does, in some cases it doesn't. I try not to just because I really don't feel like there's a difference.
It's interesting. Your experience really is very much like what the data is out there. That number of 10% of people who have problems that make you think about switching or changing or whatever, that's out there. And I think the trials themselves, the excess number of patients with arthralgias or musculoskeletal problems was somewhere around 7%. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like your experience, I guess, is that it's a common problem, but not commonly a reason to have to switch or stop.
Right.
What about vasomotor symptoms comparing tamoxifen to the AIs?
I saw more hot flashes with tamoxifen than I do with the AIs. I presented as one of the more common symptoms to the patients, let them know that this is a possibility. When we were treating patients with tamoxifen, there was a handful of patients that hot flashes became an issue that I would often treat with SSRIs like Effexor. I haven't had that come up at all with the AIs.
And again, you know, the research shows less hot flashes with the AIs. Then, you know, it's like musculoskeletal problems. Both groups have a lot of them, but just, again, a lot or significantly fewer with the AIs. Any other differences in terms of symptoms or side effects that, between the two? What about gynecologic symptoms? Any differences that you've noticed?
Not so much. I mean, with tamoxifen, I probably got more complaints regarding vaginal discharge or vaginal dryness. Arimidex or letrozole, I don't really hear too many complaints about that. The main difference that I present to patients, if we do talk about tamoxifen as an option versus the AIs, is the risk of osteoporosis. I present it to them and, you know, I say that we're going to kind of follow them closely. And we start off, we do a bone density at baseline. And then annually after that, I'm a little bit more aggressive using bisphosphonates in these patients if they show even just some osteopenia. We'll often start them on Actonel or Fosamax.
And of course, in the major AI trials, they didn't do that. They just kind of, because they weren't sure what to expect. So it's interesting. Certainly there are increased numbers of fractures that we're seeing in these trials. But again, that's without that kind of aggressive intervention and monitoring you just described. If a patient who's about to get an AI, start an AI, and I guess we should also emphasize AIs are only for postmenopausal patients. But so if a woman says to you, what's the chance I'm going to have a fracture, excess chance of me having a fracture by taking an AI, given what you're going to do in terms of the monitoring, the bisphosphonates?
I usually say that it's a small risk. With the bisphosphonates, it's hard to even assess what her risk is, you know. I tell her a little bit about the data from the studies and say that her risk of really developing a fracture is low, probably less than 2%. And, you know, try and weigh the benefits and the risks for her and say, the benefit that you're achieving by being on an AI and your risk reduction, your risk of recurrence is lower compared to your risk of developing, you know, bone density loss. You know, when you weigh the benefits and the risks, in my opinion, I would prefer to have a greater protection from the breast cancer recurrence.
And that we've been doing a lot of patterns of care studies of oncology practices in the United States, and clearly what you just said reflects what's going on in at least 80% right now in this country.
And it was the same thing with tamoxifen. When I would present side effects of tamoxifen and talk about endometrial cancer, you know, when people hear that another cancer is a potential side effect of treatment, it was important for me to show them really the small percentage. It was, you know, less than 1 in 1,000 women developed endometrial cancer as a result. And I had said, even if you should develop endometrial cancer, much more treatable than if you were to develop, you know, metastatic breast cancer.
Right.